and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from PhilAbundance, we have its Executive Director, Glenn Bergman. Glenn, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Oh, let's get started. I don't even know how to tackle this, so let's wrestle the first issue to the ground. What is PhilAbundance?
So we are a food bank, but food rescue entity that provides food to over 325 partners in the 9-county area in southeast Pennsylvania and New Jersey along the river. And 90,000 people a week touch our food in some way.
What is hunger? Let's talk about who is hungry and nationally and locally as well.
So if we look at hunger, food insecurity, however you might coin it, it is when a person can say that they do not know where their next meal is going to come from, when they have skipped a meal and they are not sure how they're going to solve that. And the person that we see, those 90,000 people that I just mentioned, just in our area alone, there is a perception, I think, in the public and for many people that these are people who you see on the street. These are people who, quote, are lazy or whatever. And it is totally the opposite. What we find is that of the 90,000 people, that about 60-something percent of these people in their households, someone has worked at some point during the year. And these are really working people. They could be employed, and they just don't have enough funds to make it to pay the bills for rent, heat, electric, and then food. We serve about 30% of these 90,000 people are children, so they're in households, and about 16% are seniors who are in fixed incomes.
Before the show began, we were just chatting about how the government feeds 95% of the people on their programming, but a lot of people don't even qualify, and a lot of them are our neighbors because, one, they're assets, and two, they're too proud to look for food.
Right. There was a great article in the Philadelphia Inquirer last year by Al Lebrano where he showed that in Montgomery County, Chester County, that the need for food is there, about 8 to 10%, and that many of the people who are coming to see us have assets that are too high to qualify for the SNAP benefits, the old food stamp program, that the children don't qualify for the school lunch program because their assets are too high. And so here you have this sort of catch-22. Somebody may have lost their job, they have bills, and they have to pay those bills so they don't lose their house. They're stretched their dollar, they used up all their income, they haven't been able to sell their house yet, or whatever might be happening, and they're short. They show up to get food to help stretch that dollar that they need for something else. They cannot apply for federal programs. Federal programs like the SNAP, food stamp program, school lunch program, summer feeding, the senior box program, the TFAB, which is emergency food program funds. Those are the big government programs that take care of about 90-95% of the food insecurity problem in this country.
You mentioned 30% are kids, and a lot of them are also elderly and other people that we don't even think about when you just think about the population in general. A lot of articles lately about college campuses.
That's right.
Anytime you've got limited income and something has to give, and if it's a book or if it's bus fare to get to a class or your rent,
right,
that comes before food, before food sometimes.
You know, this whole thing about kids couch surfing, eating, you know, ramen noodle, scavenging for food, these are things that have not really been brought out until a sociologist at Temple University, her name is Sarah Robb, wrote a book about 2 years ago that really showed what the level of poverty, food insecurity, just is at the college level. We know about debt for college graduates and how much it's grown. Well, the same thing is true for the fact that these children who we represent, who we feed through our program, they end up graduating from high school, they go to college, and they're trying to make ends meet. And they don't qualify for certain programs once they leave the household. And so they're stuck in a really tight situation here. And so schools are opening up pantries, Temple, Community College, Westchester, all the schools that we meet with are opening up food pantries to help get some food to these students. The problem is great. At the community college, the poverty level is over 60%.
And when we talk about kids, if they're being fed during the winter months at a school, then when summer comes, they are lacking
right.
in the nutrition that they were going to receive through those school lunches
That's
or the
right.
breakfast that were provided for them. So hunger is throughout the year, and it just crosses every population.
That's right. Every zip code, as we say, has food insecurity in it.
And food insecurity is supported with these local food banks. You work with 325 of them over this local region. Describe what Philabundance actually does, because you're a unique model in the food rescue and the food salvage business. Right. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, it's sort of the back-end logistics of the food business. We started back in 1984. Pam Lawler, who started Philabundance and named it at her kitchen table, saw the need to pick up food at restaurants, caterers. When I was a chef at Frog Commissary Catering here in Philadelphia in the 80s, they solved a problem for us when we had events at Franklin Institute where they would pick up for us. It has grown to a point where the Port of Philadelphia is the busiest port for perishable products on the East Coast. Last year, we were able to rescue about 10 million pounds of food from the port. And at the back of grocery stores used to throw out their product, but they've gotten wise to this. And they understand that they have a commitment. And the partnerships we have with grocery stores in this area is phenomenal. We call it Grocers Against Hunger. And we have the grocers in this area, such as Giant and ShopRite's, Acme, Aldi's, have become wonderful partners with Philabundance, where they will donate to Philabundance or to one of our agencies. And we will help keep track of those for them so that we can actually let them know how much they've donated. It's a perfectly good product. That we will not take product that's, you know, damaged or bad. We are trying to move product that it's either getting close to its shelf life expiration or that they need to make room on their shelves. And we will not take product that's, you know, that's not in good shape. So 10 million pounds out of the back of grocery stores, about 11 million pounds off the port, about 2.5 to 3 million pounds out of the wholesale produce market in Southwest Philadelphia near the airport, and then donations and purchasing of product also that we're able to do from people raising money for us to buy food also, which is very, very important.
It's the port and the markets that really fascinated me, right, when I first found out that if a ship comes in or That's doesn't right. get unloaded by one day or a few hours makes a difference.
Well, this is a really, you know, they're working on a very tight schedule. And when you talk to Dole or Chiquita Banana, and they have some bananas that have been there maybe for, you know, a little bit longer than they want it to be, and maybe they're still perfectly good, but they have another boat coming up the Delaware River and they have to make room for it. What did they do with that? And when we were caterers, maybe we had a couple of hotel pans. In their case, it could be truckloads. So they need to find a market for that. They can either donate it, they could throw it out, they could give it to pig farmers, but by donating it, they also get an enhanced tax deduction, and we're able to get that product out. And I think that it's amazing what goes on at the Port of Philadelphia and how important it is for your listeners to know that this port is now not only the busiest port, but is very much engaged in helping us solve the problem of food insecurity by trying to get as much product donated as possible.
It's scary how tight the deadlines are.
That's right.
To deliver food.
That's
and,
right.
And again, if those bananas didn't get off within the right time to hit the trucks to get to
That's
another
right.
state, then, well, it stays here. No point in putting them on the truck.
You know, you could have a truck driver coming across the country in the middle of the winter, gets delayed by snow, gets here to the produce center on Friday afternoon rather than Thursday afternoon. By Friday afternoon, that delivery of broccoli from the West Coast, they may say, I'm sorry, we can't take that anymore. You're a day late and we don't need, you know, we've missed a day of it, and they can reject it. Or they can think that the quality is not right and they can reject it, even though when we look at it, we'll take a look at it and say it may only have 5 days left on shelf, but if we can get that food out, people can eat it. It is absolutely the way to go. And so the amount of food that gets rejected sometimes is remarkable. It's not a public thing. You don't see it, but we're there to try and solve how to get that product to market as fast as possible. In the dairy industry, where there's excess dairy right now in Pennsylvania, we're working on a project called Abundantly Good, which is to take that excess dairy, have it made into cheese, and then donate it out. We also have product that we're having made in the dairy in Lancaster County into 5 different types of cheeses that are now being sold at DeBruno's, at some of the food co-ops in the area like Weaver's Way, and for every pound purchased by one of these retail markets, we take a dollar off of that. A dollar goes towards purchasing more cheese that we can give away, which is from excess product. A little complicated, but we're trying to
role model.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a little complicated, but the Abundantly Good brand is one that we think can play in the market on the shelves as a retail product and also as a product that we give away or sell for very little to pantries and to other users.
So you have all of this food. You've got that ton load of broccoli and say you've got bananas.
Right.
Now, what if Georgia's got peaches? Can you swap?
So we do that all the time, actually. When we have one of the importers calls us and says, one of the warehouses calls us and says, we've got 10 truckloads of Chilean grapes, and we've got another truck coming, we have another boat coming up, we need to get these out of the warehouse. And we can say we can take one truck of truckloads, 30,000, 40,000 pounds. But what we can do is then put it up on a site that's, we work with Feeding America and we work with about 200 other food banks. We can put it up on a site and another food bank can say, we'll take that truckload or we'll take a half a truckload. And we last year sent out food to 30 other states from the Port of Philadelphia. So we work as a conduit. We can ship stuff to New York, to City Harvest, and they may ship back something like boar's head meat to us. And so we'll ship back and forth product that they may have excess of that we can use, and the same goes for us to them.
So now you've got all of these bananas or peaches or boar's head or whatever it is.
Right.
Now, how does that food then actually reach the hands of someone who's hungry? How does that get out to the public then?
So in some of the ways, how it gets out is that we actually deliver it to these pantries and they can put an order in. They can see what we have in our warehouse. If it's produce, they can take as much as they can use. And sometimes we'll put that right on the order and just ship it out to them, knowing that they can use it. And then what they will do, so let's say it's something like Manna on Main Street up in Lansdale. They have what looks like a little supermarket, and people can actually shop that supermarket. Or the Norristown Catholic Social Services, they have what's called a choice market. Or the Klein Center up in the Northeast, they have little markets where people can come and actually shop the market. And so they can put their orders in, we'll ship it to them, or people will come on Tuesdays and Fridays and pick up at our hub, we call it, out in Galloway, down in South Philadelphia, right near Citizens Bank Park. And they can come and fill up their truck or van with product and bring it back. So there's a number of different ways that we get the food out.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Philabundance, we have its executive director, Glenn Bergman. If you'd like more information about whatever we are talking about, and this includes everything from volunteering, we're going to get into that, how you can help work with them in their advocacy work, you just go to philabundance.org, philabundance.org. If you are food insecure, if you are curious about how do I apply for SNAP or benefits, how do I find a food pantry in my neighborhood, the place to go, just call 1-866-3-HUNGRY. That's 866-3-HUNGRY. Now, let's get into, you alluded to the hub, and I know that something else goes on there, and that is the community kitchen. The Philabundance mm-hmm. Community Kitchen is located there as well. This is a really amazing situation here that you've got. What happens at the community kitchen?
So our community kitchen is located in North Philadelphia in a women's and children's shelter. It's been there for a number of years. We've been operating this community kitchen for about 18 years. It's a job training program. We've trained about 860 people at this point, give or take. And about half of those people are people who are re-entering, some from prison, some from shelters. And the goal of this kitchen is to help get people not only skills with a specific type of job in culinary arts, but also skills in life skills so that they can re-enter society and feel confident in who they are and what they can provide to society also. We also do the food for a few other shelters. And some of the food that we use, not always, but some of the food we use is food that we've gotten. For example, Giant will provide to us every week somewhere between 20 to 30,000 pounds of protein product that is getting close to expiration that we then turn around and send back out. And some of that, sometimes we'll send it up to our community kitchen and use it in some of the cooking. It's really exciting to see this not being wasted and sent to the landfill. So the community kitchen has been around for 18 years, as I said. We do catering. now at company sites, at people's homes. And that's part of the job training, to give people a chance to see what it's like to do catering and to give them something to put on a resume. Many of these people have never written a resume. Many of these people have never gone for a real job interview. So we do job interview skills, we help them write resumes, and by doing the catering, not only do they get the time in the classrooms and in the kitchen, but they also get time out on the road doing catering, and that helps to build their resume. So we very much want people to know that if they're thinking about ordering sandwiches or ordering a catering, give us a few days' notice, and we're happy to deliver anywhere in the Philadelphia region.
That's the
PCK Community Kitchen. Phone number for that is 215-235-5052, or people can go to the philabundance.org website and ask about catering and look at catering.
And that is PC Catering with a K.
With a K, cute. Right.
That's really cute. So that's one of the things that a lot of people probably don't know about you. You mentioned the Abundantly Good brand.
That's
but
right.
You're working with, you're trying to find more partnerships like that to
that's
work
right.
with family farms.
So we are looking, the Abundantly Good brand is what we call sort of a conduit to people who might, let's say, have a farmer out in New Jersey might have 20,000 pounds of extra Roma tomatoes that they don't have a market for. It's easier for them to just give it to the pigs or just throw it back on in the field and compost it. But if we can find a way to take those 20,000 pounds of tomatoes and have somebody can it or cook that product and then put it into bags that we can then give away as sauce, that's what we're trying to do, is to extend that shelf life as quickly as we possibly can so that it can be used in the winter, it can be used in the fall. And that is a logistics issue, and also it's a market issue. How can we make a market for some of this product also, and perhaps even sell it, make a profit, use the profit to buy more food when we need it?
So what you're really talking about is gleaning again. You're getting back to gleaning. And so when you're doing that, you're also gleaning again in restaurants to avoid food waste, because food waste is one of our biggest problems that we've got here.
That's how we started.
Full circle again.
So gleaning at the ports, gleaning at the produce center, gleaning the back of grocery stores. But gleaning back, going back to our roots where we started with catering companies, we are about to, one of the problems with that is that the amount of food coming out of a restaurant is very small. So when we get donor, most of our operation is run on donations, philanthropy. And so we really look at what is the cost of moving a pound of food. And moving a pound of food from a restaurant to an agency in small amounts, you have the labor and the trucking. So we look at that and we say, well, that's not cost efficient. But what we're about to do is work with Food Connect, which is an app. And Food Connect is a program where both donors and volunteers can get together on an app where a restaurant might say, I have two trays of broccoli, cooked broccoli gratin that I would like to donate. It's not worth it for us to get a 20-foot truck into the middle of Center City to pick it up at 10 o'clock at night. We can't do that. But if they put it on their app,
a women's shelter, or maybe a
person might see that and say, I can pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be able to take it, and they may have a shelter that they know of that they can take it right to.
There's a soup kitchen that's on that
app,
but will say, I've got it and I'm on my way.
Exactly. And so we are, so the public will start seeing the use of crowdsourcing around technology using an app. We actually have one staff member who's really concentrating on this and developing those types of partnerships. We're looking at a partnership with the Reading Terminal Market, the busiest site in Philadelphia, and with 7 million visitors a year, to resolve a problem that they have, which is what do they do with their leftover food. So that program is just starting right now, but we are looking at expanding that to catering companies and to corporate sites that have cafeterias in them, and they would like to see us help solve this problem of leftover food.
Well, the Food Connect app is on your website. Information about that and everything that we've talked about, of course, philabundance.org. But now, let's before we talk about how we can actually help, very quickly, talk about your advocacy work as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of programs are mm-hmm. always on the cutting block every
That's
time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited to let people know that the state legislature this year increased two very important programs, maintained one program, and increased a program which is the Pennsylvania agricultural program, enabling us to buy local product. They double the amount of money for that. Now, our advocacy is around making sure that programs that are good programs, government programs, are not only maintained, but if we think that it should be increased, we'll advocate for increasing the funding for these programs. We coordinate our work with Hunger Free Pennsylvania and Feeding Pennsylvania, and we also coordinate it with groups in Washington. Right now, the Farm Bill, which is the most important congressional bill around food, feeding, both for farmers, but also for food insecurity in this country. The SNAP program is in that bill. A lot of different programs are in that bill, is being negotiated right now in September and maybe into October. But so right now is a critical time in advocacy for making sure that Congress hears the voice of the people in need and of our agencies, and that we are at the table helping that in locally. So our person who does advocacy and public policy will be in and out of congressional and also state representative offices over the next month.
I was surprised that every billion in food that is purchased through a SNAP program, it supports 3,300 farm jobs. Uh-huh. Yeah, we always think about it as the end that somebody is going to the grocery store and buying something with a SNAP card, and we forget that behind that card are all these jobs.
That's right.
and retailers that are depending on them using that money to put it back in the community.
It's a wonderful program. The SNAP program is by far, to us, one of those programs that really works. It doesn't have a lot of red tape with it. The person gets the funds, they go to a grocery store, they buy the food. It apparently has a 1.7 for every dollar that's spent in SNAP, there's another 70 cents in economic stimulation that goes on from that. Jobs in the community, the farmer, the producer.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most efficient ways of getting food to people.
And it's
funded at about $70 billion a year, which sounds like a big number, but the reality is that with 40-something million people in the country food insecure, if that was funded by another $20 billion, $30 billion more dollars, let's say it's $110 billion a year, we could eradicate the food insecurity problem in this country.
Oh. Let's talk now about how we can help you. Obviously, we can become an advocate. We can have a food drive or host one. But you mentioned buying and so a dollar to you goes a lot further than a dollar for us to give you a bag of something.
So I have here in front of me, so let's say you have $10 and you want to go buy $10 worth of product. You can buy about, it looks like, 3.5 jars of peanut butter if you do well at that. We can take that same $10 and buy 9.5 bottles of peanut butter. Vegetable oil, the same thing. You can buy 5.5 bottles. We can buy 14.5. So we can just about triple the amount of purchasing power that an individual has. So what we recommend, and a lot of companies are now doing that, Toyota, Vanguard, a number of companies, just now the University of Pennsylvania IT department did a fundraiser at the medical school. Last year, they had a food drive and they had cans and moved cans around. But this year, they did it as what they called a virtual food drive. Subaru has done the same thing. And instead of doing cans of goods, we're suggesting that you do a virtual food drive at your company or at your school, and that when you donate the funds to us or donate money to us and specify to put it on the food fund line.
Mm-hmm.
And we promise every donor that 100% of that will go to buying food and none of that goes to any administrative costs. That's 100% that we have to. If you say this is a food drive money, we have to, by law, put that on a line item that makes us just buy food. And the kind of food we buy, and we can buy food from between 8 to 15 cents a pound. Things like potatoes, carrots, sweet potatoes, onions, things that we always need, we are going out to buy and making sure that we have plenty of that in the warehouse. So when a pantry needs product, we have it for them.
Now, you can get so many pounds of pasta and so many jars of applesauce, but what somebody needs, cooking oils, or they need the sauce to go on it, or
That's
the
right.
proteins, you can purchase that.
We have on our website the top 10 most needed items. The peanut butters, the cooking oils, the canned tuna fish, the canned fruits, the oatmeal, whole grain pasta, canned stews and soups, 100% juice items, rice and non-refrigerated milk, shelf-stable dairy product.
So if we're planning a drive, those are the items. And are those on your website as well?
They are on our website. We have a nice little graphic on our website, and that shows that.
Our sister station, WMMR, each year does Camp Out for Hunger, obviously. So we're all very familiar with the work of Philabundance. But the food that comes through, it's staggering. But we know that's a drop in the bucket of what is actually needed, even though it does generate, what was it, the largest food drive in the U.S.,
year. That 1 week is the largest single food drive in one location in the entire country. It is an amazing event. And if some of your listeners have not been down to see that, I highly recommend coming down the Monday through Friday right after Thanksgiving. That food drive will fill one of our warehouses.
And when you get to that warehouse, obviously you need volunteers.
Volunteers
all the time.
All the time. We have about 17,000 volunteers every year. Some of them are at our warehouse. Some of them are actually out in the community giving out food at some of our Fresh for Alls or Fresh for All type partners, which are our free farmers markets that are all produce. We have volunteers down on Fridays going through product and gleaning product at the regional produce center, where we pull out somewhere between 20 to 35,000 pounds of food in 4 hours, perfectly good vegetables and fruit. But the volunteers provide about $1.5 million in donated labor every year.
Who can volunteer? Anybody?
Anybody. You can go on our website and there's a volunteer where you can see all of the different volunteer slots. You have to be 16 years and up to volunteer in the warehouse. But even kids will come in on family night and on Tuesday nights, and they'll do things like cards to seniors. They'll help out doing some other things. And so we take people from all different ages and try and find something for them to do. We have professional volunteers who come in 3, 4, 5 days a week and work in the offices. We've had help from lawyers doing pro bono work. It's amazing the community engagement around this that Philabundance is really fortunate to be able to have.
And when we go to your website, they suggest volunteer or host a fundraiser, raise some money for them. Obviously, you can be an advocate, donate the food. You can find the list of the top 10 items that they are looking for, organize a drive, or if you are a business and you would like to partner with Philabundance, talk to them about a food fund, or talk to them about coming out and volunteering and taking part of some of those 17,000 volunteers that are out there each year helping them. Parting words, what do you want to tell us about Philabundance?
Well, first, thanks for the time and for engaging on this topic of food insecurity. I just want people to know that we can solve this problem, that the 40% of the food that is wasted every year in this country, that we can solve this by both legislation around the issue of food waste going to landfill, by people being engaged, as you have just asked them to get engaged, and that we are looking for any assistance that we can get, and we're very excited to have so many people helping us. It is a crisis in Philadelphia, though, and we are the poorest major city in the United States, and your listeners can go to our website and look at some of the mapping of where food insecurity is. They can work with us. They can work with one of our agencies in their community. They don't have to come down to our warehouse, but we believe that this is a solvable problem and one that should not exist in the United States.
And, of course, for more information, everything that we have talked about today, philabundance.org. And, again, if you are food insecure, if you'd like to learn about SNAP benefits, if you need to find out where a local food bank is for you, call the number 1-866-3-HUNGRY. You can find that at the Philabundance website, as well as opportunities for you to volunteer and more information about all of their partnerships. You can learn it all, philabundance.org. And this here's where I say thank you, Glenn, for coming in today.
And thank you. Thanks for the time.
Glenn Bergman, Executive Director for Philabundance, our guest today. Philabundance.org, again, the place to go. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.